Hello everyone, it's Osaru Alile here and welcome to the Encounter series. Guys, today I have with me Pastor Toby Adedurotimi and I'm so happy to have him here. Pastor Toby and I actually have a little bit of a bond because we actually went to Israel together earlier this year sometime and that was actually nice. So I got to know him a little bit. So I'm bringing him to the rest of you guys. So please stay with us while Pastor Toby comes on the Encounter series. Okay, guys, so Pastor Toby is here, and I'm just going to have him introduce himself like I always do. So, Pastor Toby, just please tell the audience who you are and, you know, who you are.
My name is Oluwa Toby Adedurotimi. I'm a clergy. I'm a clergyman and also a farmer. Married with two kids, the lead pastor, Hill of God Ministries. In a nutshell, that's basically who I am and what I do.
Okay, Pastor Toby, thank you so much for being here with us at the Encounter Series. Today, we're just going to go into it and talk about Pastor Toby's interesting encounters that he's had with God. And it's been, when I was thinking about this whole session, I was thinking, where do we even hone it down on? Because he's had a series. So, you know, we are all about God's light, his power, his healing power, deliverance. And Pastor Toby literally cuts across all the borders. So, we're going to allow him to just flow, you know, cutting across all the borders. And where we're going to start with is, I guess we're starting with the beginning, the very beginning, literally, like how you were able to understand the difference between darkness and light in essence. So I'm just going to let you go right to it.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sarah. Many years back, in my primary school days, I had this encounter, you know, and I believed it was for a purpose and for a reason. Now, my grandma, my paternal grandmother, she was into palm reading, you know, and all that. So one episode, she called me that I should come. I went to her and she made me, you know, say some things after her. Now, the whole essence of this is for me to excel academically in school. So I repeated some things after her, some things were done. And after all that, I came back to school. And guess what, guys? That year, I failed. woefully, I have to say.
So after all the chanting and the...
Yes.
Did not pass. Okay.
I didn't pass. Fortunately for me, that same year, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I had an encounter. I gave my life to Christ. I became born again. And amazingly, that same year, my result after that encounter with Christ, I came third, and I came third again, and I came first. And ever since, you know, it has been on the increase. God has been faithful, you know, always in a leadership role, you know, and... You know, I would like to say this now. Just be in front there, just leading and, you know. Yes. So for me, God did it in a way that for me to realize that he's God, mm-hmm. and that there's no other God like him. I said to myself, what if what my grandmother did had succeeded? That my entire life would have been around, you know, whatever she did, and I would have been in trouble. Mm. Accepting Christ and believing in Christ would have been a big struggle for me. Yeah. But I believe God intentionally, you know, stopped that and prevented it so that my heart will not be corrupted, yeah. and my heart will completely be, you know, tied around him and him alone, my first encounter.
Okay, so it's almost like, you know, I was thinking about it and saying, I'm sure your grandmother... She bless her soul. She was doing that and thinking, I'm trying to do something great for my grandson.
She was trying to help me.
She was trying to help you. Mm. She may have done it for other people and it may have worked. So sometimes we realize that there are people that do palm reading, there are some street side, roadside prophets and all these things that they do stuff and they actually do work. And sometimes people always have these questions, how come they did this thing and it worked? And you're telling me that, this is the only thing, these are things that Christ only can do. So in a way, I feel like God actually had separated you already from that time and said, I want my son not to ever be associated with darkness. So I want to bring him out so that he understands that in me is where you find, you know, true light. Right. So I was just, I mean, I was thinking, because I know people, I have the question sometimes, and I know people will wonder that. So, okay. I mean, we know in just your instance, it did not work. But I'm sure people have stories, countless stories of when a palm reader, I remember when I lived in New York, like I'll be walking on the streets and palm readers will say, oh, let's read your palm. I never let it because I was already Christian. But they will say they want to read your palm and they'll tell you all these things of, oh, you are going to have this, this is going to happen. Some of these things do, quote unquote, work.
Oh, yes, sure.
So how do you, you know, what, how do I convince somebody that, yeah, that's not, yes, it sounds like it's true or it sounds like it is the truth, but it is not the truth because there's the light only in Christ.
Yes, we need to get to the point to where we resolve in our heart that we want to walk the path of truth. You know, for not being a Christian has really opened me up to know what the truth is from what is not, from what is false or dark. We need to understand that we have various sources of getting things done naturally in life, but there's a way that is right. There's a way that is God. Being a Christian, for example, Paul was preaching one day and there was this girl, a Sutsia more or less, that's, you know, went around, saw Paul, beg your pardon, saying these are the true servants of the Lord, and Paul had to rebuke the spirit, and Paul cast the spirit out of her. And of course the people making money from her got upset, and of course they got Paul into trouble, they were flogged and all that. But that simply tells us that we have some sources that can actually tell, and what they tell is true. I mean, it's true, but the source is not of the Lord. Now how, so knowing that the source is not of God, number one, clearly defeats the purpose. Do you understand, of what is being said? You know, because we can get it, we can get to know some things from a false source and this, and a source from the Lord. So now the choice is yours. Who do I want to believe? The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? Because oftentimes they tell you something that is true and they give you a solution that is not God and might sometimes, if not all the times,
destruction.
I won't solve your problem, or I won't solve the problem. Do you understand? So we as Christians understand that God is the way, and it gives solution that we give a permanent, you know,
everlasting,
you know, light and solution to the problem.
Okay, so that's how Pastor Toby, so Pastor Toby literally was just set apart, and God was like, no, I want my son to know who I am, you know, and he gave him another chance, I guess I would say, another chance, an opportunity to know him for who he is. And as we're continuing, we're talking earlier, and Pastor Toby now was also sharing a story with me that I'll just let him. He was sharing the story about how, what were we talking about earlier?
Okay, my encounter with the angel.
Yes, exactly, the angelic encounter.
Angelic encounter. So my walk with the Lord, I gave my life to Christ, like I said, and over the years, I got deeper. Let me use the word, I got committed in my local assembly, serving the Lord, and doing a lot of prayers, and a lot of fasting. I remember this day, particular day, I think it was on a Friday, after service, I went home, slept, and I remember that I was sleeping, and this man walked in, you know, and walked in for whatever reason I can't explain. I held on to him. There was no wing. He had no wings. He was not wearing any white apparel or something. But, you know, I have to keep it real. I just knew there was something different about him. So I held on to him.
Well, this was in a dream.
In a dream. Okay. In a dream. I held on to him. And I said, you have to bless me or give me something. And the guy, after all said and done, gave me an umbrella, and I collected the umbrella, and the man went away, and I woke up and I started wondering what, of all things, could have given me money, could have given me gold or silver or something. Why
an umbrella? It seems so mere,
you know. Yeah, so it took me a while. I kept asking, I was curious, I wanted to know what that meant, until when I guess it was my mom or something that told me, ah, that was a covenant of protection that God extended to you. So more or less, God gave me a covenant of protection. Now, down the line, I found myself in deliverance ministry. And I've had several encounters with demons, so to speak. You know, you're praying and for people, and you see, you hear a being speaking from them, and they're very, very hostile, saying, "I will kill you, I will do this, I will do that." I've had several encounters where they came with guns and all that. And in all of this, God has been my shield. You know, God has been my protector. I've never had any reason regretting why I went into deliverance. He has always been my shield. There's never been an encounter that I regretted. God always, there was this encounter I remember now speaking with you guys. a lady came and they brought her for deliverance. You know, and I was assigned to minister to her. And she came, ministered and prayed, and she went home. In the middle of the night, I saw a lady sat on my chest with a knife in her hands, and said she was going to kill, you know. And after all that, you can't kill me, you know, and prayers and struggle, and she disappeared. She was meant to come the next day to continue her prayers. The boss that brought her came down to the office and said the girl woke up that morning, said she wasn't working again, packed her bags and went away. And that was the end of that lady. For me, it was wow. So God, the girl actually came to do harm, but God prevented her, and you know, the shield of God was upon my life.
Protected you.
Yes.
So what I find in this story is that, okay, so you had this dream years even before you started what God has called you to do, which is mostly in the deliverance, well, yes. Part of what He's called you to do is in the deliverance ministry. But you could have had the dream of this umbrella and just moved on and not understood what it was about. And, you know, in your head, you always have the back of your mind somewhere. So I'm just thinking that, how do you understand? Like, I have so many random dreams. And I know a lot of people that do have so many random dreams, but they don't know what it means at all. And, you know, I feel like, did you ever try to figure it out? Or it only made sense when you said your mom had said something to you? Was there any time that you were like, okay, God, I remember this dream and I knew that was an angelic being for sure. How do I understand it? What does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. Or did it just click? Like, I'm just trying to understand. Does it click at one point, or you were continuously praying about it and say, Father, you gave me an umbrella?
It was a continuous thing, you know, the continuous search. There was this question. I wanted to understand what the umbrella meant. I was restless in my spirit. I knew there was something more to it, you know, so I went searching, you know, asking, praying. And I had to call my mom and said, look at the dream I had, out of my curiosity, like, I still don't understand the meaning, you know. And she came and said meaning. And oftentimes we have symbolic dreams, you know, and there's some dreams we have that we know deep down that that such dreams are not just mere dreams, there's more to them. And usually I advise people to, first of all, go to God in the place of prayer to ask, or go for counsel, go to your pastors, ask, tell them the dreams, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, they should be able to help, or they'll be able to help to give meaning and throw more light, you know, to such dreams, rather than just being, living like that. Yes.
Okay, so definitely whenever we do have dreams that seem like they're nothing, because that to me it sounds like a short dream, but I just find the part that I find interesting is how your spirit knew there was something more.
Yes.
Because a lot of time, how did you know it was an angel? Like,
exactly,
how did you sense that it was something more? We have dreams and we're just like, oh, okay, that was a dream, it seems a little random. There's no such thing. Like, I mean, maybe there can be some random dreams, but the ones that God sends for a reason, He will plant it in your heart and in your spirit to know that there's more, that you need to dig deeper to what it was saying. I guess it's pretty interesting that you were able to find out what the reason. So pre your ministry, God already knew that you needed the protection.
Yes, true.
He was already like, this guy, the amount of demons that he's going to encounter, he's going to need this protection.
Exactly.
So this is almost like, I mean, in the beginning I said, okay, yeah, you were set apart because of what happened with your grandma and how he was like, nope, I want him to see how I do it. So even in this case, before you got to your ministry, He had already done what He needed to do. So I feel like a lot of times that God has already, He knows our future. He knows what we're going to be doing.
Yes.
So He does things beforehand. And then sometimes you may never, ever find out. But you may never, ever find out because you're not pushing to know more about God and to know more of who He is, reading His word, spending time in His presence, all of that. Because you could have had that dream and moved on with your life and never known exactly what God was calling you to do. But then if we press in, we'll now understand what He's doing, and later it will make sense. So I think that there are a couple of lessons to learn here. Don't ever take your dreams lightly at all, or, you know, anything, visions, whatever it is that you see that God shows you. And also press in, ask him, what is this? And also, God knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows where you're going. So a lot of times he has already preempted whatever it is that you would need in the future, even now.
The truth of the matter is this. Isaiah says, God declares the end from the beginning.
Yes.
He told Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew thee and ordained thee to be a prophet. There's nothing about our lives, the past, the present, the future, that God has not anticipated. In fact, God had concluded everything about us before we were created. That is why a man cannot walk the path of life alone. You need someone that knows everything about you before you were conceived to walk us through that path that he has ordained for us. Do you understand? Yes, so it's a work. So God knew. I had no idea. I was just going to church, enjoying myself, you know, and I just found myself in deliverance. Now, that was an encounter on its own. So let me just share how it all started. I was after I finished secondary school, instead of staying at home doing nothing, I decided to be going to church to help out. And what was I doing? Sweeping, cleaning, then buying the food for my pastor then and all that. So one day a man came, and the man that came was a pastor, one of this Pentecostal church. I won't mention the name. And he came for prayers, and our pastor wasn't around. I was the only one around then. And I said, okay, fine, why can't I pray with him? So I took him to one of the prayer rooms, and the man knelt down, and I said, they're praying. And I started hearing funny sounds. My eyes, and the guy was making this sound, as in, it wasn't himself any longer, like a lion, roaring like a lion, and all sort of manifestation. I was taken aback. Well, let me not say, I was scared a bit, you know, but it took me a lot of faith. My first encounter was strange to me. And around that time, our pastor came around. He was equally surprised. He came and peeped, and he saw me. He now gave me a sign to just run up the prayers, you know. And afterwards, he came and he called me and said, wow, you've been anointed in the areas of deliverance. And that was how it started.
Oh, wow.
That was how it started.
Wow. So, again, Pastor Toby.
My life is all about encounters. And likewise, all Christians are all about encounters. And why I went there is just for us to know that some things we will not be aware of that God already anticipated about our lives. And it's only God that can walk through us, walk with us, and walk us through the path of destiny and fulfilling that he has ordained for us before we are born. Like I said earlier, it will take God to walk us through.
Okay, Pastor Toby, you know, you said that day this encounter happened where you were just praying for someone and all of a sudden this strange thing happened. I always like to talk about it to see how people can dig deeper, because that experience could have happened. Your pastor came and said, you've been anointed with the deliverance ministry, blah, blah, blah. But it could have been dormant if you did not continue to walk in it.
Yes.
If you didn't go and pray for this guy because you believed that God, if my pastor can pray, I can pray. What's the big deal? Let me go and pray. If you didn't pray for him, you would have never experienced that. You would have never known about your calling. You would have never. So this just tells me that we actually need to push. We need to try. Like, okay, let me see. Take a step. So your pastor told you that, you're a deliverance minister. So the next time somebody came for prayers, I'm sure you didn't shy away.
No, I didn't shy. And that was how it started.
And then all of a sudden, you kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And then God strengthened you as you went along.
True.
So, I mean, it definitely is. Keep pushing whatever it is that God is calling you to do, or wherever it is that you find. I'm sure I'm thinking in my head that there are some places that I feel like God has placed some sort of level of anointing in my life towards. You may not know exactly how the end is going to be or how it's going
usually to we don't know, except Joseph that saw the end.
Exactly.
But even at that, God never showed him the road. God showed him the throne, but not the road.
But not the road. Exactly. So in between, it means you have to just pressing in, studying his word, spending time with him and everything.
True.
Okay, so that is really key and profound in my opinion, I guess I would say. So is there any other, since you entered into this whole deliverance ministry, which is really big, a lot of people, like, you know, especially here, we are in Nigeria, for Christ's sake. That is a ministry that somehow, I think some people shy away from it, but some people run into it because they think that if I'm in deliverance ministry, then there's a cloud of this guy can, you know, it's true, he's Pastor Toby, he can do this or he can do that. They're chasing you and trying to get more and more out of you or whatever. So is there any other experience that you would say, okay, your protection, first of all, your umbrella of protection, your experience that you've had with God over the years was able to help you get more of an understanding of who God was through what he wanted to do in your, or from your life onto others.
True. Okay, let me share this last recent encounter with you. I think towards the end of last year, 2017, I discovered that I, for whatever reason, I wake up around 12 a.m. and I won't be able to sleep. Even after praying and studying the Bible, still I was unable to sleep. I won't be able to sleep, go back to bed. It went on for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months down the line. And January, as in my custom, I set aside some days to wait on the Lord to project for the year spiritually. And usually I have this place that I go to. I go to Kenna Land. So I went to Kenna Land, you know, and started praying, fasting and all that. And after the stipulated time I set aside for the prayers, I came back. But also around that period, they were doing their 21 days prayer and, you know, fast. So I said, okay, let me just, you know, join them and conclude. You know, and they usually break with communion. So one of those communion service, I just remember that I want this issue taken care of, enough of not being able to sleep, that tonight I want it to stop. Now, prior to this time, I was getting a bit restless in the sense that you know what it takes for you not, you wake up around one, around two, and
for the 6 o'clock,
rest of the night, you are unable to sleep, and you are active during the day, you know, as you know, instead of having headaches, you know, body ache here and there and all that. So that particular day, I've made up my mind, maybe I'll go and get volume 2 or volume 10, whatever that drug is that will make you sleep and all that. You know, but I just told myself, said, no, I will not. I will take the communion. You know, so I resolved that in my spirit. I told that to myself that after this communion, this whatever this is will be broken. So I went to church. I had the communion. Immediately I took the communion. I started feeling very funny. You know, funny heaviness all over my body. And so a thought came, okay, you know what? You've taken the communion. On your way home, just branch at a pharmacy and get something. You know, and I said, no, I'm not taking any drugs. I've taken the communion. And I went home. 20 minutes after that encounter, I felt better. There was this calmness in me. And guess what, guys? I went home and I slept. I woke up around 7 o'clock in the morning. I was amazed. The next day, to this very moment, except when I need to pray, I wake up. Even if I pray from 12 to 3, I will still sleep
from that three to
whatever time I decide to wake up in the morning. You know, so for me, the communion did it. I might ask, what is a communion? We are in communion. It's a covenant meal that God, that Christ himself instituted. You know, it all started back, you know, thousands of years ago when Israel were still in Egypt as their slaves, and God sent Moses that, you know what, I'm going to liberate my people. And Pharaoh felt then he truly was the king of the world then, and you know, what power, quote unquote, you know, and he said, I will not let these people go. Who's going to build our pyramids and all that? And God said, okay, I'm going to deal with you. And God dealt with them from using one plague another until the 10th plague. And God said, you know what, Pharaoh, I'm going to strike your strength, which, you know, was their firstborn. And God told Moses, you know, for this plague, I want you to get a lamb and kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost.
Yeah.
And when the angel that was meant to do the assignment, when he passed and sees the blood, he will not enter.
Pass over
them and all that. So Moses obeyed, and all the Israelites obeyed. I guess some of the Egyptians also, you know.
They did.
They haven't seen all the other plagues. And of course, early morning, midnight, I guess 12, 1, 2 a.m., Pharaoh lost his own son, the heir apparent to his throne. And he came and told and Moses and his people to leave immediately, and they left. And that was how they were emancipated from the bondage of the Egyptians. And that was the type. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that God gave for the remission of our sins. So Jesus Christ came on the night that he was to be betrayed. He took the bread, he broke it, and said, this is my body broken down for you. As often as do this, you put me in remembrance. And what that simply means is this. The death of Jesus, what it connotes, what it represents, do you understand? As long as you're able to, you know, remember and articulate what his death stands for, you will enjoy the benefit thereof. And he took the cup, said, "This is my blood," also of the New Testament. A testament is a promise, a will of a father to a child, and is enforceable after the demise of the parent or the man or the mother. And Jesus Christ said, "This is my New Testament," and all that. "This is my new covenant, this is my new blessings for you," you know, and all that. So that night they celebrated and they observed the communion, and Jesus was betrayed and all the sequence and the process, and what, he died on the cross, and the third he resurrected. Now what that means, what the whole essence of this is this: the communion is a covenant meal, as I've stated earlier, that must be approached with faith, and there must always be a demand. There's no force in heaven and earth that can stand against the power that is in the blood of Jesus. You know, he died and he rose again, you know, symbolizing victory. He said it is finished. So the dominion, the oppression, the works of the enemy is done. And there are times in life we get to a crossroad, or something's militating against us, and we've done everything. All we need to do is just get the communion. Like I said, it could be a bread, it could be a biscuit. You can even use water or a Coke, so not necessarily just a wine.
It's just representation.
Yes. You don't have to. It's not a blood, though. Don't go and kill animals. Like all these false prophets blood. And go and take blood. No. You know, it's just a symbol of the blood of Christ and his flesh. And like I said, approach it in faith and pray. Once you pray in faith, it will work. No matter what the problem is, it will be resolved.
Do you know what I find in this story? I think it's very easy for us to be going through something. So you were, I mean, it's not normal for you not to sleep for, you said for
exactly, like two months.
It's absolutely abnormal. But sometimes we get caught in abnormal situations and start to render it as normal. You say, you know, I don't sleep, I have insomnia, you know, this is wrong with me, I have that. Like, you are now speaking it as if it is normality.
Yes.
So, I mean, Pastor Toby, you were experiencing it for 2 months. You could have done communion by the 30th day and, what's going on here, that something is wrong, and you are a deliverance minister. But it went on for a while until you came to the realization that, no, I'm not going to accept this any longer. I'm going to make sure that I stop it right here.
True.
And then you did the communion. There's other ways that you could have also broken that as well. But then sometimes God just plants something in your heart and says, this is the way that I would like you to break this.
Very true.
And he planted that in your heart. And you did it with trust, we believe. On your way home, you were still saying, let me stop in the pharmacy. But no, he kind of told you that no, it's done, it is done. You know, so many times I feel like that happens when you are, this is just how I am. This is just how I am. I'm experiencing this, but it's okay. So God sort of He's been using you to deliver other people, but also used you and your knowledge of him to deliver yourself from an ailment that some people experience this thing for years. They'll just be like, I don't sleep. It's been 5 years and I cannot sleep and I do not sleep.
Mm.
But he allowed you to be able to use the knowledge of him to deliver yourself from ailments. So it's almost like, and you know, we're in the cancer series, that you had an encounter with God's power through his covenants of communion.
True.
Through communion of the Lamb of God, you know.
True.
Through Jesus Christ, of course. So I mean, that again is, you guys, man, communion don't mess around with this. Like,
no,
but of course, you don't, it's not like to say, you know, every small thing you do. And it's God says, it says in the Bible that you can do it in remembrance of me as many times as possible, so it's not a big deal. You
yes.
can
But
understand
faith.
Exactly, but understand that there's something behind it. So you're not just doing it blindly because they said do communion, so let me sit down there and just be eating biscuits and drinking whatever. But there has to be the mindset behind this and the faith behind it, saying, okay, I'm doing this and I know that through this, what God promised, that, you know, I can get my deliverance, or I can get my healing, I can get... So in this case, it was for healing, you know, because not sleeping is not normal, guys. It was just healing power came through that. So, Pastor Toby, thank you so much. I think that was like, it's just sharing. I know that there's a lot in between, of course, but like I said, he cuts across from birth, from primary school days, understanding God's light, moving on, understanding his power, understanding, okay, his then deliverance, and you even being used in the position of deliverance, then also understanding his healing presence and his healing power. So like I said, he cuts across everything. And I'm just so grateful that you just took the time to be here with us today and just like share this. I have questions, but I'll just with you after. And I know that a lot of people will probably have questions and say, okay, how does this work and all of that? So you don't have a choice, because you I'm bullying Pastor Toby, guys, just because I said I know him personally, so yes, I could bully him. But thank you for your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience? If not, then I would just like you to just say a word of prayer, I guess, for people who may have experienced anything similar. Oh, I mean, your story is a little bit unique, because obviously God had anointed you or had given you, you had a call. So I'm just realizing it now. So because of your call, he kept on, and I've been saying these things, but it's just coming to my mind now. Yeah, because of the calling upon your life, he kept setting you apart as you moved along. True. And, you know, showing you things. So some people may be thinking that I feel like I have this calling. I'm not sure. I feel like God wants to use me for something, but let me just continue moving along. So I just want you to just, you know, say a word of prayer for anybody who may be in the situation. Mm. And also, yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name, for your God and your God, and forever you remain God.
Amen.
And lift up every of our listeners. Jehovah God, I ask for your grace upon their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for strength in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for clarity for them to understand their purpose here on earth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That as many that I never, any form of dilemma, Jehovah God, speak direction, speak clarity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray, Father God, that you help them to understand, decipher what they need to know, what they need to understand in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be your holy name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You so much, Pastor
Thank
Toby.
You.
Once again, I said I appreciate your time and just being here with us at the Encounter Series. God bless you
Thank
and continue
you.
To use you,
Amen.
You know, as you walk around in the journey with him, and his glory will forever be upon you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, guys, thank you so much. I think that was really, really exciting for me, at least it was. I feel like I've learned quite a bit from Pastor Toby. And thank you guys once again for listening to the Encounter Series. And as always, please follow us, like, share, because you never know who may be blessed from listening to this. And have a wonderful day, and God bless you.